Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and I am so excited to be able to come and share with you here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. Man, it's a lot to talk about. You know, I think about we're still dealing with the coronavirus, and then now the George Floyd incident, the police officer that put his foot on the neck of George Floyd and, in my opinion, murdered him. And then we have the body of Christ issues that we're dealing with as it relates to race and politics, and whether you're red, whether you're blue, whether you are Democrat, Republican, it appears to me we're in the Wild West right now. And I think that what happens when there's a lot of moving parts, you can get dizzy and lose the mission and lose what is God's original intent. So I want to talk about today, I think it's a topic that I need to address as a leader, a community leader, a businessman, and as a pastor as well, bishop, a father, husband. I think we need to deal with, does the church matter? Because I think that that is significant. Somehow through the course of all the changes, we start having an identity crisis of who we are to Christ and our mission to the world. And I think that the politics of the day and the cultural phenomenons that begin to happen begin to bleed into the purity of our perception, and whether intentionally or unintentionally, we find ourselves in implicit bias or complicit bias. Implicit meaning that we are biased and don't know it, or complicit meaning that we know exactly what we're doing, and out of fear that we may lose something, we allow those emotions and fears and cultural dominations to infiltrate in the church's mission and to cause an infection to begin to transpire. And we find ourselves sick and not really whole in how we need to respond and authenticate the purpose of God and the will of God. So I want to talk about, does the church matter? Or may I say, why the local church matters? But, well, you know, the local church is not for our satisfaction, but for our sanctification. The local church was never built for us to be just consumers, but contributors. Not for our emotions, but for the mission. You know, the scripture says in, Ephesians 14, I think that 14th verse, the Bible says that we should not be, no longer shall we be, in other words, little children tossed to and fro by the waves blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and techniques of deception. In other words, the scripture says that we should not allow what is external, what is happening in the world, in the culture, to bleed into the foundation and the truth of God's word, of who we are and how we should walk and how we should be in the mission. Because it's very clear, according to scripture, that the gospel should be able to have cross-cultural reach, cross-pollination. It's not based upon cultural phenomenons. The purity of God, the forgiveness of God, the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins, the love of God transcends all systems. I have a principle that states pure faith has no cultural restraints, no earthly bound reference points. Pure faith is a biblical belief mechanism exercised by action in pursuit of overcoming all obstacles. That's a lot. But basically what it says is that when the faith in God is pure, there's no boundaries to its reach, right? The gospel in its purest form is the answer for the confusion in the politics between Democrats and Republicans. It's the gospel that brings reconciliation and healing. The purity of the gospel, not a gospel that is preached, but couched in politics, right? You cannot wrap the cross in the flag. But it's crazy to me that we have allowed these cultural phenomena, these rooted down belief systems, to invade the gospel and cause implicit bias or complicit. Implicit bias is when you bias and you don't know it, because we all have levels of implicit bias, right? Whether we profile people of different ethnicity, or we have rooted down white supremacy that's in our belief system that we are in denial of, or we are Christians that happen to be African-American. We're Christians Monday through Friday, but we become a black Muslim on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, we start picking up philosophies. And I'm not suggesting that emotions and feelings and realities are not what they are. I'm just saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only solution to conflicting issues. It is his love that gives us the capacity to conquer anything. The Bible says the love of God has constrained us, right? I have to forgive, but yet I have to speak truth to power. And that is the reason why the local church matters. It's because the local church is able to speak truth to power. The local church position is that we operate out of the basic fundamentals of the Bible. And regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our political persuasion, regardless of what side of the track we may be on socially, there is only one truth, right? And everybody has to buckle under that truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why the church matters, you know? Now, look, one of the reasons why the local church matters, I believe, is that we learn the biblical language of love and truth. We learn the language of love, right? The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 15, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's a lot of meat on that. So what I hear the scriptures saying is the church matters because we are the ones that set the tone of love in a nation, in a city, in a family, right? We set, the Bible said we're the salt of the earth. So the gospel of love must not just be preached, it must be lived, right? And so the Bible says we must express this love. What is love? Well, God is love. How do we see love? Well, we see love where Jesus went to the Samaritan woman and he preached Christ unto her, the will of God unto her. She gave her heart to the Lord. Although they had difference of cultural experience, which he dealt with, although they had, he was a male, she was a female, but the gospel of love, the gospel that transcended their political views, their cultural differences, right? And she was touched and changed and saved by his love, okay? So the idea here is that when we start allowing our politics, our cultural differences to take precedence over the love of God and reaching people, then we have produced a misrepresentation of what true Christianity is really all about, okay? And so when that happens, we're not walking in the true identity of the truth of God. And so now everything becomes fragmented, and those that are on the outside that do not know Jesus, that are atheists, that are away from God, or whatever the situation may be, don't know how to make a distinction between our politics and Christianity. You know, it becomes syncretism. Syncretism is the blending of two or more religious beliefs. It's almost like people are Christians, but yet they practice yoga or politics and Christianity, you know, or white supremacy and Christianity, Hebrew Israelites and Christianity. you know, you start blending the two, Jehovah Witness and Christianity, Mormonism and Christianity. That's syncretism, right? And speaking specifically to white supremacy, I want my white brothers and most of you all that are listening to this know me. I come from California. I was raised in a multicultural environment, raised in a multicultural church. I get the power of multiculturalness and the love of God. When I grew up, a white man talked black and played basketball, and a black man had vernaculars that we would say that he sounds white and dance like it was no business, you know, nobody business. I mean, he got down. A Hispanic, man, it just was a salad bowl of different cultures. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But at the same time, we can't deny that there is white supremacy in the bloodline of the nation. And if we go back to history, now think about this, that the slave owners called themselves Christians. At the same time, they can hang a black man and treat him worse than an animal, but they profess to know Jesus. That's syncretism, that you have professed the name of Jesus. At the same time, you are merciless. You are indifferent. You are a monster in your heart and spirit, but yet you know Jesus. You just incorporated the gospel of Jesus Christ in it, right? And on the other hand, I mean, we can have Hebrew Israelite doctrine or the black Muslims that really signifies Farrakhan as the Holy Spirit. But yet we have Christians that say that they're Baptists or what have you, but they have incorporated the black Muslim doctrine into their belief because of what they're seeing in society and the racism that is going on. And as a result, you know, they have blended the two. Well, I want you to know that the gospel is a pure, righteous truth that stands alone. We don't blend the gospel with our cultural challenges, right? The gospel changes, right? The gospel transforms. The gospel don't intermingle. When we start intermingling, then we change the spirit, the power, and the origin of the gospel, and we dummy it down. To me, it sounds like another Jesus that Paul talked about. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, where Paul said, "For if someone comes to you and preach another Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." What he's saying is that you guys are putting up with this stuff, that you are being divided by race, you're being divided by politics, you're putting up because this is another Jesus. Whenever we start operating in divisions, it is not the purity of the gospel. It has satanic interjections. Why do you say that? Well, you know, scripture says, and what is it? 1 Corinthians 12:25, the Bible says, so that there would be no divisions in the body, but the members would have the same concern for each to the other, that there should be no divisions, no separation, right, in the body of Christ. When we talk about Democrats, Republican, when we talk about black and white or people of color, and it's a division between people of color and white people, okay? It may be in the world, but when it comes into the kingdom of God, Paul said the walls of separation has been broken down by the blood of Jesus. And then the scripture said there should be no division. But when we take our belief system and we, you know, bring Jesus along with it, but we don't authenticate it, there is still implicit biasness, because the Bible says that we should have the same concern one for the other. Now, this is a great illustration of this monster nature that's in our culture. When George Floyd was on the pavement, handcuffs, and this police officer had his knee in his neck, and the other officers didn't even respond. I wonder, within those four men, four or five officers, who was a Christian? Okay, this is how we know that syncretism and the culture of the world invades the purity of God, is when basic human compassion, right? I mean, you don't even treat a dog that way. But this is how much we have allowed the world to infiltrate into the church and now has become the dominant force. When I listen to people that claim to know Jesus and they're politicians or they're business people, but they have horrific posture of ungodliness, right? With no compassion, no real love of God operating in them, no balance. It's evident to me that either this person don't have the real Jesus, or they have prized the culture over the cross. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all. And I didn't do this just to preach at you. But the scripture says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers the multitude of sin. John 15:2 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. There's a love deficit in our nation. There's a love deficit in business. There's a love deficit in politics. There's a love deficit in our family unit. We have to, as leaders in the kingdom, whether we're pastor, business owners, or whatever, and if we are Christians, we have to deal with the love language. We have to deal with our love walk, because that is the evidence that we are saved and we are Christians, right? So the church does not lose its place in the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the city that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. We will lose our relevancy in Jesus if we are politician Christians and not Christian politicians, right? If we allow the politics of the day to take precedence over the cross and the gospel, then we have lost our true purpose in the earth, and we have allowed ourselves to just to become religious and bow with syncretism, thinking we know Jesus like the old slaveholders that went to church every Sunday, right? Talked about God, but manipulated the scripture to affirm their monster nature, okay? We cannot deny that that was a reality, and that in many cases, that same nature still exists today. We cannot be in denial. African Americans understand this, but we must address it with truth, light, and with a forgiving heart, right? Without bitterness, because you can attack something in truth and not be unforgiving. And then our white brothers and sisters in Christ cannot deny that there is a white supremacy that's in the bloodline of our nation that has not been eradicated. We cannot be in denial of that and know how, through the love of God, to balance the situation and not feel threatened or intimidated, guilt tripping over it. We as Christians must respond responsibly with the love of God and balance, with truth, honesty, integrity, and love. So it's very important that we understand the state of the church and the purpose of the church. I know it sounds like I'm preaching to you, huh? Well, let me give you another reason before I go why the local church matters. And once again, we have to operate in the biblical boundaries so we can have the proper representation of who Jesus is. And so people don't see us through the lenses of political viewpoint or ethnic background. Okay. The church matters because it teaches us about being a part of the body of Christ, right? We're part of the body of Christ. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Now, that is the proper representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile. In other words, when we operate in the purity of the gospel and the love of God, it's not about white or black. Now, let me say this. Sometimes we see issues that go on in society and we kind of just skim over it, right? But the Bible is very clear. He talked about Jews and Gentiles, right? He talked about the dividing, because the Jews and Gentiles, remember that the Gentiles had power over the Jews. And they, for years, had put them in slavery. They was oppressed by the Gentiles. But when the gospel began to be preached, Jesus said, there is neither Jew or Gentile. There's no separation. There's no marginalization, right? That you are equal in the eyes of God and in the power of the gospel of Christianity. And it was the responsibility of the Gentiles to deal with those situations that caused supremacy over the Jews that were Christian. And then it was the responsibility of the Jews to not be bound with unforgiveness and bitterness. They had to deal with their heart. They had to confront the disunity, confront the social dynamics that oppress one over the other, because we can't, you know, we just can't sing kumbaya. We got to vote. We have to have some type of political representation for what we believe as the truth. We have to deal with the poverty issue, those that's been marginalized. We got to deal with that. We got to deal with all those issues. And I'm not suggesting, as leaders and pastors and business people, that we put our head in the sand and sing kumbaya. No, we got to deal with these issues. But we have to deal with it truthfully and honestly and not be in denial of it. And we have to be clear of not bringing syncretism to use that as some type of substitution or escape dynamic. You know, I was blessed by, I heard some of my brothers and sisters that happened to be white that saw this in the way that it was. And we didn't care, or they didn't care, of what the gentleman had done earlier. It was that this police officer had hate in his heart, and I personally believe it is racism, it is white supremacy. It's when this person thinks that he's greater than this other person, you better believe it. Let's not be in denial what's going on in the heart. And I think that sometimes we don't want to call a spade, because if we do, that means we have to deal with our own implicit bias. And that's white or black, right? So, but the point that I'm trying to make is that we, as the body of Christ and as the church, must be very careful to matter from a biblical perspective. Does the church matter? Yes. But we will not have our true relevance and potency in the world unless we do deal with this love language piece, our love walk. The scripture says, by this all men shall know that you're my disciples, by not being a politician or holding to Democrat or Republican views. That's not how they're going to know that we are Jesus' disciples. They're going to know by our love one to another, or one for another. That's how they're going to know. Okay? That's how when the Romans were nailing Jesus to the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People of color have to be forgiving. If we don't, it will bind us, it will pervert us, and it would hinder us. We must forgive and fight for social justice. There's nothing wrong with social justice. Jesus talked about it all the time. The poor, right? The disenfranchised. It's all through the scripture. We have to deal with the social issues that's going on. And those that happen to be white, that are brothers and sisters in Christ, must understand that walk and that journey without taking upon some type of unbearable guilt, and understand that you still have a biblical responsibility to respond, not politically, but respond as a Christian, right? I think that we've been so blinded from a political view that we cannot even operate in the fundamentals of the gospel. The race issue is a big deal. It's very evident that we have work to do with this love language, this love walk, man. And I think that as the people in the kingdom, the body of Christ, we matter. We matter to God. We matter to the earth. We matter to our children. We matter to the world. We matter. However, we must make sure that we showcase, authenticate, and walk out the gospel in the purest form and have courage to deal with the hard issues. And truth must speak to power. We're going through growing pains. I think we need to forgive, and then we need to repent. We need to be very repentive over our cultures so that we don't operate in cultural adultery. Well, my time is up. Of course, I've said a lot. Please pray for our nation, pray for our president, pray for our love walk, that we would be the salt of the earth, that we would cause a sense of unity, sanctification, that we be merciful. But yet we confront the social issues. We can't deny that they are not there. The economic issues, the disparities that are there. Remember, there are still people that are getting the coronavirus and sick, and they're dying, and families are disrupted financially. This is the moment, this is the greatest moment for the church, the body of Christ, because we matter. But we must do the works. We must work while it is day. Hey, listen, I want to encourage you to purchase my new book, The Journey to Greatness. This will change your life forever. Also, if you would be so kind to subscribe to Legacy Leadership Alliance, send this podcast to several people that you know that need what I'm talking about, okay? Well, listen, I love you. Remember, it's better to live by principle than to die by impulse. You guys go with God, stay on the wall, and by all means, don't quit. Blessings.